Welcome to John Wayne Lied to You, the storytelling podcast featuring me, your good old putty, your putty? The putty in your hands, some would say. The putty beneath your feet. The putty beneath your wings. It's me, John Wayne, your old putty. I'm here this morning in Wayne Manor, as usual. Nestled in the east wing in the Library of Evil. I flew in this morning on wings of putty from Chris Jett's house up in Spring. We played a show last night, John Wayne is Dead show, one of the cover shows that we do. And I'm kind of coming in hot today, guys. A little bit hot about some things that have been on my mind and maybe exacerbated by recent interactions and such. I kind of just talked about it on Twitter right before I started recording this morning, but I'll tell you this: I've kind of calmed down a little bit since I was preparing for the podcast, getting the tarot reading done. Of course, got Grandpappy's medicine here, a nice good full pipe to clear my mind, a good coffee. And I've calmed down a little bit, but that does not take away from how I still feel about what's on my mind. So, you know, I'll just get into it. You know, playing, I do this podcast and I talk about it a lot, that I'm very much trying to make this transition into, you know, my art being what I use to support myself. In that, I mean the books that I write, you know, the shows that I play, the performances, everything that I'm involved in. You know, that's what I want to do. That's the John Wayne brand, if you will, that I'm trying to make stick and become my main gig, right? So never have I tried harder or been putting more and more into legitimizing myself in that way than I have been, you know, probably over the last, I mean, it probably started about 6 or 7 years ago, but, you know, it's gotten even more and more concentrated and finite, you know, not finite, but just laser focused, I guess, in these last couple of years, where I'm really, and this year I'm taking a really solid go at, you know, doing a ton of traveling. Not only that, I'm trying to go legit with like all my taxes and stuff, as far as what I make off of books and music and things like that. And you know, setting that up as my own, you know, business and being legit. I know I should have been doing this for years, but you know, I haven't been. But I'm doing it now. So all of these things coupled in together and taking this to a legitimate place that I want it to be, it's really fucking hard, and it pisses me off when everything that I do at every turn is devalued to the sense, to the point of, like, you know, almost giving it away. You know, it's there's a huge disconnect, I think, with the way people view art in all mediums, you know, in all forms. Of course, we, you know, talk about the, you know, age-old argument, Napster stealing fucking music, and there's people on both sides of that, and I understand the value, or I understand the opinions and the thought process on both sides of those things from artists and consumers. But at the very base line of it is a form of stealing. It is beneficial to artists as well, you know, but I think you have to, if you're killing yourself to live, which is something I've used that term many times on the podcast before, but that's like, that's where I'm at. I'm killing myself to live right now. And if you're at that point, like, every single thing that you give away for free is like just a nail in that coffin that you're trying to break out of, you know, makes it a little bit harder for you to pull yourself up out of the ground, I guess, if you will. And a lot of people, I don't think, realize that side of it, you know, if you're not involved in it. And here's the example. Here's what's kind of got me a little bit hot. A couple of things yesterday. You know, we play these shows as John Wayne is dead. You know, we are, I make jokes on the stage when we play these cover shows that we're a real band too. But we, you know, because we are, we have our own gig, our own shit, we have our own records, our own music, we are our own thing. However, to make like large amounts of money quick, you know, if you're a musician, you know this, you know, playing cover gigs is the fastest, easiest way to do it. Now, we have fun with it. It's not our favorite thing to do, but we have fun with it. And we take songs that we like and old country songs and stuff. We make it fun. We put our style on it. But it's still a lot of work. It's, don't get it twisted. It, you know, I know you're like, oh, John Wayne, but you're up there. You're cracking jokes. People are bringing you beers, you know, slapping you on the back. It's all over. But the shouting when you're up there, no. Yeah, that's great. But, you know, also that's part of it, guys. Like, you know, we're there to have people have fun, so of course we're going to be having fun. But all the preparation, all the work, all the time that goes into doing that kind of stuff, it's a lot. And you're not punching a clock, you know, somewhere at the practice space, you know, after you've put in 10 hours of rehearsal, you know, over the last 2 days leading up to a gig or something like that, a big gig. You know, you're not seeing that return until you go and you do the thing. So that's where all of that comes from, that gives what you do this value, right? That is so skewed when it's not understood what you go through to create this. And I'm just giving my own personal examples. I know there's plenty of you know, people who do the exact same thing who can relate with a ton of different kind of stories. But all I can do is speak for myself. Now, going into these cover shows, we usually have like a set, like this club pays us X amount, this club pays us X amount, this club pays, it's a set amount, right? What sucks about that is when you get lowballed, you know, because there's some clubs that really take good care of you. You're playing for 4 hours, okay? You know, don't, you know, think about that. 4 hours of playing music with 3 15-minute breaks. 10 or 10, it depends on the place. It's a lot. You're exerting a lot. It's a lot of energy. You're doing a lot of work. So it sucks for me when you have this one place that pays you X amount and they're like, this is what you make. You know, we'll just say we're going to pay you $600, you know, regardless of how many people are in your band, because we only have two people in John Wayne is Dead. So, you know, you're doing the 4 hours of work. That's what we pay for it. Here it is. But then there's this other places where you do the exact same thing and they want to pay you by the man up to a certain amount of men, or, you know, when I say man, person in your group, right? So we're a two-person group and, you know, there's places that they're like, okay, $100 a man up to 4 men in your band. So I come back at them like, well, we're a two-piece band, but we're still doing the same amount of work. So can we have the $400? And they're like, no, because you only have two people in your band. And I say, like, so what does that mean? If I get, like, some asshole up there to ding a triangle and someone to fucking dance like a boss tone, I can have the $400? I don't understand that. And I think, you know, the people that work under this, these fucking notions need to understand, like, the work that's being done. It's the same amount of goddamn work, okay? And it needs to be treated as such, regardless. I got hot because last night we played this show and the pay is so inconsistent. Now, I'm happy to play this place and I don't have to not say it. It's Jive. You know, it's on my fucking website. If you follow us, you know what it is. I love Jive. I love that place. I love, you know, the people that book us there and the bartenders are always good. But at the end of the night, it is always a fucking what the fuck when we open our envelope and are like, why is it this much tonight when it was this much last month? What is going on here? And you can't get straight answers. You know, you get runarounds and shit like that. And that, it just fucking burns me up because it's like, at the end of the night, it's almost like a fuck you. Like, yeah, we gave you that much last time, but this time, yeah, we're only going to give you this much with no explanation. Why? Did we not do something to your, you know, fucking specifications? What's up? You know, can we have, but you don't even get these communications a lot of times. And you know, a lot of times when you do, the answer is like, yeah, fuck it. That's what we're doing. That's it. If you don't like it, don't take it. Like, you know, Like, they have you over a barrel, and in a sense they do if you're trying to make money or trying to scrape by with everything you can get, you know. They are, you are over a barrel. You are getting fucked, and that's what fucking sucks. Another thing that, you know, we can't cannibalize each other, as artists in whatever, you know, in all of our mediums, the same or different, or, you know, where we cross over. We gotta be looking out for each other and not, you know, fucking eating our own tails, so to speak. You know, I had a guy that, you know, he wanted to take pictures of us, a photographer. Like, that's his jam. That's what he does. And, you know, he reaches out like, hey, can I come take pictures of you guys at your show, and some videos? And I'm like, I appreciate it, man, but we don't have money for that kind of thing right now. We really don't. You know, we're trying to, you know, we have other shit we gotta prioritize. And he's like, oh, that's cool, I don't charge, you can just buy me drinks and I'll take care of it. And I'm like, okay, we don't really have money to buy drinks, you know, for this either. Like, that's still, like, to me it's like, don't you understand, like, if I don't have money to give you, why do you think I have money to buy you drinks all night? Like, that doesn't compute. And then I'm like, I don't know, I don't think so. And he's like, well, just bring a 4 gig, 8 gig memory card and an SD card, and, you know, and then have that for me, and then and some drinks and that, and I'll fill up the card. And I'm like, dude, I don't have any of that stuff. This is all communications back and forth, and I'm trying to be nice. I'm like, dude, I don't have any of that stuff, and this is a cover show. I don't really, you know, we don't need pictures of us playing in the corner of a bar somewhere, cover songs, you know, or videos. And he's like, oh, well, I've got a card that I can bring, and I won't take any videos. I'll just do pictures, and then I'll give you the card, and you buy me drinks. Like, everything was like a buy, and you buy my drinks. And I was like, dude, finally, I was like, hey, I don't want your memory card. I don't have money to buy you drinks for pictures and a memory card that we do not need or want. Thank you very much. If you want to come just hang out, that's, please do. But that's the kind of shit I'm talking about, man. Like, you have this service, you should charge for it, right? But if I can't pay you, stop fucking, you know, biting at me. I understand you, maybe you want to help, but you got to know how you're helping. You know, we do all help each other. That's what I'm talking about. Like, don't cannibalize, help without a by the way. You know, if we can do that and lift each other up in that way, you know, then it comes back around. You know, you're helping me do this, and I'm helping you do that. And it's all just, it works a lot better. So, you know, I'm just at this point, you know, where a lot of these things are bothering me as I move further and further into this legitimizing of myself and trying to make this my main gig. These are the things that just, like, just fucking irk you, man, you know? And I just want to say, like, you know, I'll stop ranting, but I'll say this, you know, go out this week and just make it a point to support an artist or an art form that you enjoy in some way, big or small. Whether it's, you know, buy someone's book, buy someone's, you know, indie record, rent someone's film on a streaming service, donate to a you know, tons of podcasts that I listen to, and I think all the time, like, these are free podcasts I listen to. I don't do a dick to get these podcasts, and they're free. The least I can do is throw like a $5-6 at a Patreon thing. And this is not, I'm not saying like, oh, by the way, donate to my, I don't have a fucking Patreon. we have donation buttons on the John Ways Dev website, but that's not what this is about. You know, I'm saying the podcast, if you listen to this podcast, you listen to other podcasts, you know, maybe throw them some support, even if you can't afford it, like just a tweet or a post where you promote their thing for them. These are the things I think that we just need to do and spend more focus on, and just be mindful of it, you know, just be mindful of it. I think that is what will help us all out. So that's my rant on that. I'll get off of that. But you know, in other news, you know, it has been a great week. I made an announcement on my Facebook that I will be at Days of the Dead again in Charlotte in May. So I'm very, very happy to be going back to another Days of the Dead. I'll be up there in Charlotte. So far, it's just going to be me at a table right now. I'm trying to wrangle, you know, a couple of people that might want to, you know, get down on that with me. You know, trying to bring the band back together. You know, the old boys, Barbie Barb Wire and old Mikey Psycho Lombardo. We might, you know, have to get together and see at the crossroads one time. But I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be able to make that happen. But I'll keep you posted. But that was excited that I'm going to be at that one as well. So. That's very fun. Also, my very good friend Danger Slater's new book came out this week on Valentine's Day. It's called He Digs a Hole on Fungasm Press. Do yourself a favor and get this goddamn book. It's awesome. It's amazing. Danger's writing is fantastic. And, as you know, I know that, you know, with the bizarro genre especially, you know, writing styles vary and the way people use, you know, the way they choose to use their prose, it's different. It varies, right? Nothing right or wrong about that. But there's something so well done and poignant and excellent about the way that Danger writes that it's something to me. I'm constantly inspired. I like read his stuff. I'm like, this is what it needs to be. This is why I need to work harder. So I loved his other books. If you haven't read Danger's other books, I suggest you check those out. But right now, He Digs a Hole is out, and I know that he would appreciate all the love and support on that with a big push right out the gate. So check it out. Read Danger Slater, and I think that you will be glad that you did. Moving forward, I'm going to go now into our tarot reading. I know this has been such a lengthy rant of an intro. I do not apologize, and I regret nothing, but you know that about me. So as I said, I kind of chilled out a little bit earlier. Part of it had to do with this tarot reading I did. As you know, or if you're new to the show, I do a 3-card tarot reading on myself before every show and then talk about it. You know, not because I believe that I'm communing with the spirits of the future-telling society of, you know, ghost hunters or whatever, but it is very, it's meditative for me. It helps me to think about things that are going on in my life based on, you know, just what the symbols and these cards are meant to represent, right? So, based on what I, you know, just kind of went off on about this whole, you know, devaluing of art thing, I did this, and I kind of got some solace and some peace out of this reading. So as we go, so it starts off with kind of a not a very positive card necessarily. The Eight of Cups. Now, and the Eight of Cups represents walking away from certain achievements, things that you've accomplished through hard work to attain a higher satisfaction. Particularly, it says on a spiritual level for this card. You've come so far, but have overextended yourself to the point of emotional exhaustion. Now, that was something that keyed in super hard with me. As I've spoken about in the podcast before, I'm very much spread myself thin a lot of times with committing to projects and just wanting to do so much, and I just can't do that. I have to step away from things. I have to push away. So this gave me pause where I was like, man, maybe I need to definitely make some hard cuts in my life right now as far as those doing too many things. You know, it says you're disappointed in yourself for this, but you know it's the right thing to do before burning out completely, which is a little scary, because that's the last thing that I want. You know, burning out, everybody burns out in different ways. And, you know, just being like more, you know, prone to depression, you know, I am a depressed person, I guess. You know, I go to therapy and all the whole stuff. the, you know, this kind of burnout tends to cause me to spiral out into just, you know, places I don't want to be in my mind and things like that. So it's just like, you know, I was like, okay, I need to, I really need should give some hard thought to this. So then the next one, it was another cup card, the Six of Cups. So this is a little bit better, but it does, it represents looking back on happy memories, which are fine to reflect and connect on the happiness of those things from your past, but be mindful that you're not doing it to escape current challenges. Like, don't, I kind of look at that as like resting on your laurels a little bit, which is something I daily tell myself, do not rest on your laurels. Do not become complacent. You know, where you're like, yeah, I did that. Man, it's going to be hard to do the next thing. But remember when I did that? That was cool. You know, that's something I do not want to ever do. It says you're looking back at what you've endured. If you're looking back at what you've endured and overcome, this will help to assure you that you can overcome future and present challenges. So that, I think, is saying when you look back at those past accomplishments, rather than, you know, doing it as a way to avoid the current ones, it, looking back on it to find the strength to be like, you know what, I overcame this to achieve that. So what I need to overcome now to achieve this next thing, I know I can do because I did this, right? So that's what I got from that. And it says, you know, but it says also to make sure you only focus on the positive things about those experiences. Bring that positive energy forward and none of the negative, because of course it wasn't easy. It was a battle. There was probably a lot of negativity and positivity involved. So it's just like, just think about the positive things and bring that forward. And I'm definitely all about that. And then to wrap this up, the last card is this card I've gotten before, but it rang, you know, it was a nice button on the end of this one. It rang really true for this whole situation. And this is the Sun card. Now, on the card, the picture is like the sun is like up, you know, chilling in the sky, the happy face. And there's like a naked child riding a horse with no saddle. And he's, you know, happy and his arms are out, right? Not controlling the horse. And I found this interesting that represents that child riding the horse with his arms out, not controlling it, symbolizes the perfect control between conscious and subconscious. Because the child is riding and not falling, and you know, the horse is you know, driving itself basically, and they're working in this unity, this harmonized way of you know, traveling together without controlling the other one, I guess. So this is like that perfect control between those two things and achieving that, which I'm always interested in my subconscious and versus conscious mind. So I found that pretty cool. This represents success, radiance, and abundance. No matter what you do, positive energy follows you, and you will bring happiness and joy with you. Now, I like that because that's something I strive to do. I strive to be that positive energy guy that people are like, hey, you know, I want to bring everybody up and, you know, make people happy. And I'm the guy at work that like at 5:30 in the morning, I'm like, you know, fucking rapping Tupac at the top of my lungs, you know, to get everybody in the production room laughing, and I'm doing the moonwalk and shit. Like, I like to be that guy, but sometimes, you know, I can lose sight of that positive energy, that because I'm just sucked into my own shit, and that's not cool. The people are drawn to you because you see the bright side. You bring warmth to people's lives. This is something that's important to help each other out with, and I think that just makes me to be mindful of more of this. This is an energy that helps you get through your own tough times and will help you succeed. Be sure to radiate who you are and what you stand for always. So that made me be like, okay, I do bring happiness into people's lives, positivity into people's lives in some way or another. You know, whether it's actually I'm physically there, we're having conversation, maybe through this podcast, maybe through my books, music, whatever. But radiate always who you are and what you stand for is just kind of like going back to this whole rant at the beginning about, you know, that the valuing and devaluing of art and making it happen. You know, and standing for something, and that's what it is. It's like, do not, I don't need to compromise any further. I need to stand for this and move forward with it, and not be like, you know, wishy-washy, like, yeah, I guess that, okay, this time out, you know, but next time I'm gonna say something. No, fuck that. You know, stand for what I think is right in all of this, and that's just what I need to do, and that's what I'm going to do moving forward. I think that's gonna be for the best. So anyway, wow, all that out of the way, I thought that was a great reading for especially the things that I was thinking about just today, not just even throughout the week, in particular. So all that being said, you know, I thought about which story I wanted to tell today, and I thought about one from years and years ago that was kind of one of the first times I really kind of hit home about how easy it is to be taken advantage of in the arts, and how flippant and callous the people are that about it that do it. This is a, I didn't even really think of what to even call this because I was just kind of flying off the cuff, but I will call this story Hey, we're ripping you off. So, as I've said before, you know, I play in a band now called John Wayne is Dead, but I've played in bands for right around 20 years, and many different bands, many iterations of the same band. And one of those bands that I played in for a very long time that went through several iterations was Letters to Voltron, that I've told stories about on this this very show many times. We were a band for, I don't know, 7, 8, maybe 10 years probably. Yeah, at least 10 years. But like, when it started way back, this was probably 12 years ago, I would say. It was just a acoustic duo of myself and my buddy Robbie C. It was shortly after, you know, we'd kind of conceptualized this band. I'd written a handful of these goofy acoustic songs that were just kind of funny and dumb, and Robert came in, and you know, he's an amazingly talented guitar player and musician, and he, you know, put the flair on it with his acoustic. So we're just like two goofballs playing acoustic guitar, having these shows. We would dress up for them, like in weird costumes, and just have fun with it. But in the very beginning of this, you know, we're kind of just trying to get leverage, trying to build things up. You know, we were a lot younger, trying to figure our way through this. And, you know, at that point in that level, at least where I was at, you put value on these things, right? And you don't necessarily even know why, but playing at certain places, certain clubs, you assign this value to that of like, wow, you know, if I could do that, that would be the shit, you know? And for whatever reason, because you've experienced something. So you do that. We were doing that. And, at the time there was, I think we were MySpace, whatever. So we get hit up on our MySpace, by this person that's like, hey, we're this organization. We're doing, we checked you guys out. We're doing a showcase in Houston coming up, and we'd love to have you guys on it. We'll have, A&R reps from Sony and somebody else and da-da-da there, basically to, you know, see the talent here in Houston, and we'd really like to check you guys out and have you on it. And it's going to be at Numbers on this date or whatever. Now, Numbers is a club in Houston that's been here forever. It's primarily like a goth kind of, dark-ish, like goth dance club. I don't know. That's the best way to put it. Like, but they've done they do shows there at a stage. It's a venue as well. That's just its like primary function. It's been around for ever, like I said. So I had seen a lot of bands play at Numbers. You know, I saw like Cold Chamber play there. I saw a fucking Real Big Fish play there. You know, I mean, all the ends of the spectrum. And I was like, fuck yeah, dude. We were like, yeah, we want to fucking play at Numbers. This is great. So we're like, yeah, we're interested. And then they're like, okay, cool. Well, here's what you do. We're going to give you tickets, and they're $10 a piece. And then you just have to sell those tickets to all your friends to come, so we can have a packed house. And if not, it's $20 at the door. And like, oh, wow, that's okay, you know. And I know there's people yelling at their fucking radio or iPod right now, like, you idiots, the fucking scam. Let me get to the fucking story, okay? So, you know, we are like, okay, cool. But we're still excited. Like, it wasn't like we registered, like, that was even, it didn't ding in our heads of like, huh, that's weird. We were just like, yes, yeah, let's fucking do it. So we hustle, and we made, like, posters for this thing, because, like, you know, we went all out, like, full color posters. We thought this was like a big important thing. We took it as this important cool thing that we were gonna do that could lead to something big for us. And so we hustled, and we sold I think 43 tickets, right, at $10 a piece, which I'll add ended up being the most tickets sold by anybody that was on this fucking whole this whole bullshit thing. Plus, like I said, the $20 at the door thing, I believe we had like five or six stragglers that didn't get tickets from us that came and paid that $20 to see us, right? And that still counts as under our name. Like, they who are you here to see? Okay, cool. So they got like that. That's like 100, 120 bucks. Then we get there, we're all like, oh, cool, this is so great, you know. And this guy, like, he's in a fucking, this sleazeball dude's in a suit that's running it, and he's like, hey guys, oh, cool, great to meet you guys in person. Yeah, look, I saw the posters, look great. Yeah, so yeah, you guys ready? Okay, let me just, you got your ticket money and everything? Yeah, he's like, okay, let's go back here to the back. You know, he took us back into, like, the green room in the back of Numbers, which is, like, just disgusting and, like, torn to shit, but so cool because it's just, like, party bands back there. And, you know, we give him this envelope that's like $430, and he takes it out and he counts it. He's like, yeah, okay, good, great job, guys, great job. And he puts it in his jacket pocket and closes it, and is like, okay, great job, great, you know, we're gonna, I hope you're ready, man, this is gonna be great. And it was kind of at that moment when he puts that money in his pocket and shuts his jacket where something in my mind was like, wait a second, that doesn't seem right. But still I'm excited, and I'm like, okay, cool, let's do it. So all of our friends get there, like, everyone that bought a ticket showed up. There was no like mercy tickets or like guilt tickets, like, yeah, I'll buy a stupid ticket. Everyone was there, man, and it was, you know, we had a lot of people there right up at the front, and we'd practiced so hard, and we get up there and we play our dumb songs, and we thought it went really well, and everybody in the crowd said, really, it went really great. So we wait through the whole fucking, you know, rigmarole, we watch everybody, and, you know, as far as we knew, we were supposed to be getting, like, critiques and feedback from these A&R reps, which, who the fuck were they? I don't know. We got Sleazeball One in a suit and, like, two other jerk-offs running around. I guess they were the A&R reps? Who fucking knows? But I remember when it was all over, like, we have to track down Sleazeball in the suit, you know, and we're like, hey, man, and he's, like, walking around doing shit, like, he's getting ready to leave, and he's like, oh, hey, guys, what's up? And we're like, what's the deal? Like, you know, what, is there any feedback? Like, what, you know, what's the next step? And he's like, well, you know, really, guys, you know, we think it, I thought it was really great, you know, but, you know, I just don't know if there's necessarily an audience for what you guys are doing right now. So that's pretty much our take on it. But you know, we're gonna be coming back with another one of these in like 3 months. So if you guys want to revamp, maybe do some stuff. And you know, I'm kind of sitting there just listening to this guy, and again, it's just like, this does not compute. This does not compute. There's not an audience for this. What do you mean there's not an audience for this? We brought 50 people on a Sunday afternoon at Numbers to see this, specifically see us. And there's not an audience for this. That's the audience. We sold the audience. What the fuck do you mean? And come back in 3 months. What do you mean come back in 3 months? This is what we do. Like, what do you expect us to do? Are we going to be suddenly viable in 3 months? And, you know, it took like the whole, like, you know, loading out and just in my mind and then ranting on the way home to be like, you know what? This is fucked up. We got totally ripped. Like, we got ripped the fuck off. We have no idea how legitimate these people were. We didn't ask for their credentials. We didn't ask for their Sony Records pay stubs or something. These were just a bunch of jerk-offs that took $500 basically from us and gave us nothing. Gave us, like, fucking snake oil, you know? That was a lot of money. That's a lot of money now, but then especially to just two guys in a band jerking off, that was our money. Those people paid that money to see what we did, and we got none of it. None of it, and nothing else that was promised. And not even like a, you know, a fucking reach around or anything. I mean, we got fucked, man. And that was the first time when it registered to me of like, oh man, people will completely take advantage of you any way they can, especially if they're just playing that game of dangling a fucking carrot in front of you that is not even a real carrot. And because, you know, of naivete or, you know, just high hopes, false hopes, you know, delusion, they consistently get away with it. And I was like, no more, definitely. And like I said, I've been in playing in bands for all these years, and that scam has come around many times, and I've gotten hit up many times, like, still like, hey, we heard you, you guys are great, we'd love to have you on this showcase, or we'd love to have you on our Battle of the Bands showcase, you know. And it's just a racket, man. It's just these fucking people making fucking money off of you. And I don't even give a fuck if you're listening, if you, somebody who works for one of those places, quote unquote, one of those things, and says, well, it's not a scam, it's beneficial, fuck you, it is a goddamn scam, and you fucking know it. And so, you know, I encourage highly any of you who are in bands that listen, when these things come around, they're like, yeah, just sell the tickets, and, well, you know, if you get after 8 rounds of finals and semifinals, if you win, you might win $500 in studio time to some bumfuck asshole studio where you'll never go and no one's ever heard of, you know. And meanwhile, along the way, you've built all your friends out of like fucking $2,000 or some shit, so you can get up on stage and be happy jappy jerk off or whatever the fuck. Don't fall for that. Don't do it. Make your own way. These are the things we need to stop. Anyway, that's the story. Robbie and I never did any one of those things again, and we took better control from then on. But this is just something that I've been learning even more and more as I go. Like I said, the further I try to legitimize myself into this and step more and more away from, you know, a straight gig as far as like a regular day job, you know, these things become so much more glaring. So anyway, that's the story. And the moral is, we never fell for that again. But I hope that those guys fucking choked on that $430 that he put in his fucking jacket. You know, I hope he just like walked out and got mugged for it or something right there on Westheimer. But anyway, karma's a bitch. That shit'll come back around if it hasn't already. So anyway, you know, don't get ripped off, kids. All right, folks, there you go. We're here to rip you off, or whatever I called it at the beginning. I can't remember. That was the story. I know it seems like this is a rant podcast, I'll tell you what. And, you know, like I said, I don't apologize for that. This is just my platform to let off some steam about these things, and that's how it is. And I just think that, you know, I'm just trying to put out there things that we need to think about, if you're whether you're a consumer of art, an appreciator or a creator, you know, these are all, we all need to work together on this and get on the same page before things just go away completely. They're already drying up, you know. We don't have to talk about schools funding of the arts or anything like that. We all know that's a joke. But outside of that, in the real world where we live, it's pretty much in our hands, you know. I think we can, you know, make things thrive for each other if we just are mindful and work together. I don't know, maybe it's a huge pie in the sky, apple pie hopes or whatever people call it, I don't know. But that's just what I've been thinking about lately. So anyway, as I always do, I very much appreciate you guys listening to the show. Please you tell your friends, continue to you know, help me get subscribers on. If I met you at Days of the Dead and passed out, you know, you got my pamphlet and you're listening, one of my new listeners from that, I very much appreciate you checking it out. That means a ton to me. Just pass it on, just you know, share the program. That's all I ask, you know. Let's just help me out in that way, in the very least. Also, remember to go to johnwayneisdead.com for everything about me that I do that you can find out. All of my books, links for my books are there to buy either from Amazon, or you can buy them directly from me in the BSC Records shop page of the John Wayne is Dead site. And if you order them directly from me, I will sign them, I'll personalize them. I always throw in like free cool things. I do drawings and just like cool shit. So I definitely will take care of you if you want to order a book from me that way. Either way, even like if you know, all my stuff's on Kindle right now. Death Packs and Left Hand Paths, I've just, you know, I did a sale on that. I'll do another sale in another couple weeks as I get closer to another convention. But even so, it's $2.99. Those are cheap. You know, every Kindle sale helps too. If you want to help me out in that way, I really appreciate it. We got some shows coming up. I've another very cool John Wayne is Dead show, March 3rd. We will be at Rally in the Alley, which is a very sweet fucking roads hot rod car show put on by the Rumble Cats, which is a car club here in town. And we did this last year and it was a lot of fun, and we're doing it again this year. It's an old town tomball, so if you're in the Houston area, it's like north side. And it's like 12 to 6, I believe. And it's going to be a lot of fun, so it's free to... No, yeah, it's free to go. It only costs to show your car. So I have the info up on our webpage if you want to do that. That's our next show that we have coming up, and we have some other stuff that it's all on the site, and all of my readings and appearances and everything are on there as well. So johnwayneisdead.com. Also, follow me on the social medias at johnwayneisdead, all one word together, or my Facebook is just me, myself, and I, John Wayne Kamianali, my name. Again, thank you guys so much. Check out the stuff I have coming up. Do not forget to buy Danger Slater's new book, He Digs a Hole, on Fungasm Press. You will not regret it. And, you know, let's just love each other, everyone. And let the love heal us and deliver us from our own evils and aspersions that we cast upon each other. I think I went from like a preacher to like a, you know, a warlock or something there. But it doesn't matter. All right. Have a great week, guys. Thank you so much. JohnWayneIsDead.com. I love you. See you next time.
Mockingbird Network.